Julia, thanks so much for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure to be here.
Why don't we start off, Julia, if you can introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your company.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Julia O'Grady, and I am the owner and founder of ITM Events. We're an event management company that manages association and corporate conferences mostly. And we do conferences across the country, which is amazing. And hopefully soon we'll be expanding internationally if we get the opportunity to do that with our clients.
Wow. And how long have you been in business for?
So 16 years this year. But as my husband says, the first 8 years were a very expensive hobby. So if I looked at like how much time I've actually spent being really like in it and successful, you know, like 7-ish years, but technically on paper, 16.
Wow. Congratulations. That's great.
Thanks.
Any business that can survive that length of time is doing a lot of things right. What made you go into business for yourself in the first place?
You know, funny enough that I always had little businesses on the side. Like I was a photographer at one time. I just always had little things happening. But for this one in particular, I was kind of at a stage in my life where I realized that I really wasn't very happy and I needed to do something more that was more aligned with who I am and what I wanted out of my life. And essentially 30 days later, I launched a website. Wow. And then the rest is history.
Wow. Yeah. And was your background in events? Is that what kind of led you to this?
No, not at all. I was actually working for the government in something completely the opposite direction. But funny enough that I always planned events. So either like as a volunteer, like I did a lot of work with Big Brothers Big Sisters in Brockville, and like I volunteered a lot and we always planned different events for them. And then we'd always have these amazing family parties or parties for our friends. And I would always go like above and beyond. And everyone always said, Julia, you should do this for a living. And at the time back then I was like, people don't get paid to plan parties. That's crazy. Like, of course they're not going to do that. It turns out they do. And, you know, it actually makes for a really successful career and it's a lot of fun.
Wow. And tell us a bit about the types of events you put on.
So generally it's conferences, association conferences. So national associations where they have to travel across the country, you know, like 1 year they're in the West and next year they're in mid Canada and then the East. And they're essentially putting together conferences for their membership, with like the education component and teaching, you know, their members what they need to know. And then on the corporate side, it can be, sometimes it's like a client-based conference, like where they're inviting clients in to experience a new tool or something they're working on, or they're doing a celebration of some kind. Then that's what we do for the corporate side.
So you start this business 16 years ago. How did you get your first clients? Was it word of mouth? You said you put up a website in 30 days?
Yep.
And then kind of take us on that initial journey.
Oh my God, it was so messy. I essentially was doing anything and everything. Like it was such a, I don't know. I didn't know at the time, like what a business plan was. And I didn't even know how to use an Excel spreadsheet and like all the things. I literally just jumped in and was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make it happen. And I tried, like I sold Halloween costumes and I did a lot of weddings, which was good. Like that was a successful part, which now, like if any of my colleagues are going to be listening to this, they'll be like, so glad you're not doing that anymore. Two very different worlds, you know, the wedding world and the corporate world are two very different things. And like my favorite story is what is like my very first event. And I love sharing this with anyone who ever reaches out about like what they're thinking they want to do. So I planned an event for a local company. And I asked what her budget was, and it was $200, like for the entire thing. So I ended up, I did it because I was just trying to get my name known. And that's what happens, right? When you're an entrepreneur, you're like, oh, I'll just do it. And it's no big deal because I just need to get my name out there. I need the experience. But I ended up spending probably $500 of my own money to make the event successful because I had a vision and I knew what I wanted it to be. And so I needed to you know, do the thing to make it happen. So it actually cost me money to do my very first event.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's a pretty typical, I always say, you know, you get paid to learn sometimes when you're an entrepreneur in the early stages. You take what you can get because, A, you want to have some cash coming into the business, even if it's negative cash. But really, you really want to, you want to get some experience and get some contacts and,
yeah,
and get your feet, you know, under you kind of thing. So, okay, so that's kind of the first, and it, take us through kind of like year one. What did that look like? That was your first event. How did that evolve and change? And I'm just trying to have our listeners understand what a journey like this looks like for someone that's been in business for 16 years. I think that first year is pretty crucial, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. It's a long time ago, though. You're asking me to go way back in the archives. I would say like the biggest thing that stands out from that first year was there were a lot of late nights and revamping. Like I remember just being in bed beside my husband who's sound asleep and I'm on my laptop in the middle of the night, like not going to bed till 2 or 3 in the morning because I was just constantly like revamping the website or coming up with new ideas and just like trying all the things, hoping that something was going to catch. So like that's the, I think, yeah, that's probably the biggest memory from that first year was just hoping that someone was going to pick up on something and it was going to take off.
So at what point did you find your lane, so to speak, that you knew, okay, this is, I want to do corporate. I want to do, you know, I want to do conferences. I want to do AGMs. That's kind of my skill set.
Yeah. I want to say in that 2017 time, I knew that things needed to change. So at that time we were, like 7 years in. Mm. So at that point I was like, okay, this other stuff is not working for me. And I actually had someone working for me at the time who said to me, Julia, there's a conference happening in PEI. You need to be there. That is where you need to be. Those are your people and you need to be there. And so essentially, I got in my car and drove to PEI and attended this conference, which literally changed everything for me. Like that was like that turning point to be like, okay, I'm in the room with the right people. This is where I'm headed. The experiences that I had at the conference, one of the coolest things about being in the events industry is when they create events for events people, they're always amazing because that's like, that's what we expect. And that's what, you know, that's what we do. So it just opened my eyes to what was possible on the corporate side. And I was so tired of being nickel and dimed in the wedding industry that it was time for me to like, okay, I need to learn what's new and what's next and then move into that space.
So there's an interesting lesson here, isn't there, Julia, that, you know, it's a fine line between you have a vision for your business, you want to stick to that vision and you don't want to get distracted, but you also have to be open to potentially changing if things are not working. Would you agree with that?
100%. You need to, and I see posts all the time on social media about like, you need to sell the solution to a problem. So you need to be like, you can have a vision and know what it is you want to do, but you need to be listening to what your clients or potential clients want, because if you're not selling what they want, you're not going to get the work, right? Like it, as much as you try to convince someone that what you have is what they want, if it's not what they want, they're not going to buy. So you have to allow yourself that flexibility to kind of sway to figure out where you're supposed to be.
So when we started the podcast, you mentioned that you do work, you know, right across the country, correct?
Yep.
So what is that like as a business owner? Like how are you getting business outside of your kind of circle of influence here in Ottawa?
So because we do work with associations, that is the biggest one. Because like, so a lot of associations are located in Ottawa. That's like generally their headquarters are here. But not all of them. So a lot of them are across the country as well. And in order for us to get our work, like we generally don't do any marketing. Like I don't spend any money on marketing. It is all because we have to bid on our projects. So the RFPs come out and then we have to bid. And because the type of work that we do where we are across the country, we have contacts across the country. So generally associations are less worried about whether their event planner is in the same city that they are. It doesn't really matter because their event moves across the country anyway. So wherever we are, it's not going to really change things for them. So we can move, you know, wherever that needs to be.
Now, as someone that owns a marketing agency, you realize you're making my eye twitch, right, by saying you don't send me marketing.
You know what? And I tried it, and that's the thing, is I tried it, but it wasn't hitting the mark. Like, it was wasted money, because it doesn't, like, that's not how people in our industry get our work. So it didn't make sense. However, now, in the last year, things have really changed for me and the company, and we're getting a lot more referrals, repeat business, that kind of thing. So now I think that marketing lens is going to start to change a little bit, because people are talking about us. Whereas before, no one even knew we existed. So it didn't matter how much I was shouting from the rooftops about what it is we do. I didn't have that, the following and the people talking about us and stuff, that, like, now I think I could take a new lens on that, and we would come up in some of the feeds where we need to be.
Okay. How did you get through COVID? I assume, you know, your industry was pretty much shut down. How did you get through that?
At the time, so that was kind of when the business just started to take off, like that 2017, 2018, 19, things finally started to, like, on the upward scale. And surprisingly enough, COVID was actually really good for us. Mm. It was an opportunity. We actually had more business than usual, because there were still organizations who still, like, at the time, I think we were doing a lot of work for charities. They still needed to make money. They still needed help to get to where they needed to be. So us being flexible and kind of, like, spending time, even just consulting with them and talking about, you know, how could you be making money during this time? And what is there an event that we can do based on the limits that are happening? Like, it was just like a constant shuffle. But for me personally, the pandemic was such a gift, because it allowed me the time to breathe. I didn't have any clients at the time whose event was directly impacted in that first lockdown time. I didn't have anything coming up until the fall. So I wasn't in panic mode like a lot of my colleagues were. We actually had time, like, we essentially messaged our clients and we're like, okay, we know where everything's at. We're just going to all take a breath for right now, because we can't do anything anyway. So let's just hang tight. But it allowed me to just slow things down, take some courses, learn how to do things. I took a course that essentially, like, tore my business down to the studs and rebuilt it entirely, so that when I came out of the pandemic, I was literally ready to hit the ground running. So for me, it was quite a gift. And I'm also blessed. Like, I need to say that I'm also blessed that I have a husband who has, like, a very good full-time job. So I'm not like a lot of people where we weren't counting on my income to support the family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was still, I had the flexibility to do that.
So it sounds like it really gave you time to work on your business, as opposed to just in it, that old saying. Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. Yep. Really interesting. Julie, let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about some advice you'd give to fellow entrepreneurs. What advice would you give to someone that's listening that owns a business that may be struggling right now? Because as entrepreneurs, we've all struggled at some point in our journey.
God, there's so much. There's so much I want to tell people.
Yeah, I'm not looking necessarily for one piece. Whatever you want.
No. It's like, because it's all valuable. They need to hear it all, and it's all things that I wish I had heard when I was starting, right? Like, I wish we had podcasts, and I wish there, you know, the internet is what it is today, because it would have been so helpful. I think people need to ask for help. I find that entrepreneurs, you feel like you're in it alone, and you feel like you've screwed up. If the business isn't succeeding, what have I done wrong? I can't talk to anyone else because they're going to shame me and make me feel like I screwed up. But that's not at all the case. Like, as soon as I learned, like, that conference in 2017, like I said, was literally life-changing for me, where I allowed myself to be totally vulnerable. And I walked into rooms with people who've been in the business forever, and I was okay saying, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what that word means. I need help. I'm struggling. And that changed everything, because it opened me up to people who were willing to help. And all of them, the best part is that they all said, oh yeah, I've been there. Here's what I did. Right? Like, we all feel like we're alone and we're the only ones who are screwing up like this, and we should have known better. But you don't know what you don't know. And unless you ask for help, how are you ever going to learn those things?
It can be a really lonely journey, entrepreneurship. And I find that it's difficult to talk about any struggles that you're having with anyone other than a fellow entrepreneur. Because the person that has a steady job and a regular paycheck can't understand what it's like to lose sleep over not being able to make payroll, perhaps, mm-hmm. or losing a large account because they get their check every 2 weeks, no matter what. So is that what you found? Did you kind of gravitate towards fellow entrepreneurs, or did you have a circle of influence that allowed you to speak freely about this and they understood that they weren't entrepreneurs?
Yeah, no, I the only people I, even to this day, that I still feel like I can really talk to are entrepreneurs. That we're a different breed. We're different people. And like, we don't, a lot of people, the people that are not meant to be entrepreneurs are the ones who may have an idea and they want to start something, but as soon as it gets hard, they quit. Entrepreneurs are so focused and so driven by whatever that vision is that they have for themselves, that they're not willing to give up, and that they're willing to sacrifice the sleep and the stress about payroll and all the other things in order to meet the vision. Like, for me, it's just not an option to go back. Like, I cannot go back to my previous life. This has to work. And so every mistake I make, I learn from it. And it, like, as much as it hurts, and they're getting to be less and less now, which is really nice and less impactful. But I truly believe it's because I take the time to learn the lesson and then implement it. Like, it's not just like, oh, that's really bad that that happened. It's like, no, okay, that happened. What did I do wrong? How can I not do that again? Let's create a new system for that. We need to be better next time. And then you just keep moving. You can't stop.
So in that same vein, what advice would you give to someone that's thinking of starting a business? They have an idea and they just can't seem to get themselves to pull the trigger on the idea.
It's a tough decision to make. Like, if you've always been an employee, it's really hard to make that decision to just go for it. And I'm so torn between, I actually just had this conversation with someone the other day who got laid off from their job, and she's just like, she doesn't know what to do now. Like, she knows what she wants to do, but she's afraid to take that first step. And like, I'm torn because I think there's two avenues. One, you either stop everything else you're doing and you go all in. Like, if you have the capability financially, if you have the support and to do that, then I would say you go all in and you just focus, because it needs that amount of focus. Or if you can't, if you don't have that flexibility, then I would recommend that you keep that steady job so that you have a paycheck, but then you have to be committed to the time that goes in on evenings and weekends, and you have to be willing to sacrifice other things in order to get this vision. And then eventually the tables start to turn. And that just happened for me finally, where I was able to let go of my government contracting. I think I held on to it a little longer than I needed to. It was a bit more of a safety blanket, but it finally got to a point where I was comfortable enough to be like, okay, I'm out. And I was able to just take off and do my own thing.
But it's a fine line, isn't it, though, Julia, between, like, how much runway would you think someone needs to have financially? Is it 6 months? That's kind of the advice I give to people. Ideally, if you have a year's worth of savings.
Yeah, and that's kind of where when you asked that, that's kind of the first number that popped in my head. Like, at least 6 months is kind of, you need to be ready to be able to just hunker down and do this full time for 6 months to get it off the ground.
Yeah. Any other pieces of advice you'd give to someone that's listening?
Yeah, the other big one for me, and I wish, like, I so wish I had had this from the start, was to know your numbers. Like, I joked at the start, like, I didn't even know how to use an Excel spreadsheet. Like, I'm literally not joking. And finally, I had a business coach who was, you know, looked at one of my documents and he's like, how did you create this? And I'm like, I don't know, in Word. And he's like, okay, you can't be creating invoices in Word, because if you make a mistake on the math, that's on you. Like, Excel, that's what that's for. But I didn't understand margins, profit, like what expenses I should have and what I shouldn't have. Like, I just had no idea. Like, money would come in, money would go out, money would come in. And I had an accountant, but I just, like, I would literally shut down when the accountant started talking because I didn't understand any of the numbers. That I wish I had understood better, because as uncomfortable as it was, once I understood the numbers, then I could start to fix things. Then I could start to be like, oh, okay, I see why I made that mistake, because the numbers weren't adding up, because numbers don't lie. So if the numbers are telling you it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And then that's how you know, like, okay, now I know what I need to adjust or change in order to make this work.
One of my good friends, I won't name him, but he's been an entrepreneur his whole life, and he quit school after grade 12 and started a business right away. And I said, well, how did you get around that? And phenomenally successful. He's a multimillionaire, a very well-known person here in Ottawa. And he said, what I did was I went to university and I took accounting courses. Because mm-hmm. I knew I could sell. I knew I was good at marketing, terrible at math. And there was no, and I knew I had to understand that finance is the language of business. And I'm not an accountant, so for a marketing person to say that, but it really is. It, to me, it's the hub. Everything else is just spokes. And that's what he did. And I thought that was a really interesting approach, so that, you know, when he saw a balance sheet or he saw an income statement, he knew what he was looking at. And he understood it, but only because he took the time to educate himself. So it sounds like he did the same thing. For anyone listening that, you know, is kind of rolling their eyes at this part of the podcast because they don't want to look at the numbers, there's a great book called Profit First.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that. Yes.
I can't pronounce his last name, Michael something. I don't know what. Yeah. Anyway, look it up. Profit First. It really is great, especially for someone just starting out, to make sure that the revenue coming in, you've got enough set aside that you're paying yourself and you have some profit coming in. Otherwise, you really don't have a business.
I'm so glad you said that. Profit First literally changed everything for me. And now, like, we use it for our family finances. We use it for business finances. Like, and it was so again, I went to a conference and it was like day three of the conference, the very last session. And it was about finances. I was exhausted. I didn't think I could take another session, but I knew I desperately needed to take a financial one. And thank God it was a profit first session. And I literally sat in the room and I think my jaw was open the entire time because all of a sudden the numbers made sense. And I was like, that's what I needed. I needed someone to explain it to me like this. Now all of a sudden I can do this. Like I can, and I literally on the plane, I think like my laptop was just like trying to like download all of this information that I had learned. I came home and I bought the book. I got a Profit First bookkeeper and accountant. And like, I was just like all in, because it changed everything. And now all of a sudden I could see how a company can actually make profit. I see how I understand what expenses I can actually afford and what I can't. Game changer. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I like about it is that even if you're not inclined that way, it is so, he explains it in such a manner that anyone can understand it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Listen, believe it or not, we're out of time here. Julia, before we let you go, where can our listeners and viewers find out more about your company?
Yeah, so our website, obviously, itmevents.ca, everything's on there. I'm super active on LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, please follow me on LinkedIn. I talk about everything on LinkedIn about the business. I'm also a huge advocate for mental health in the events industry and for entrepreneurs as a whole, because I did have a mental breakdown in 2019. And so coming back from that, I just don't want other people to have to go through that if they don't. So I share very openly about how that has changed my life. Those are really the two best places to check us out.
Wow. I don't want to focus too much on that, but it really is amazing the number of entrepreneurs that struggle and they feel that if they talk about it or anything, that's not good. And in fact, it's the opposite. You have to talk about these things. And like we talked about at the beginning of this whole podcast, it can be a lonely journey. It can be stressful. It also has many, many great rewards, but you got to be willing to be open about any struggles you're going through. For anyone listening that may be struggling, just realize that it's not uncommon. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, 100% normal. Yeah. And anyone who tells you they don't go through it, they're lying.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, Julia, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. So happy to talk about it.